Paranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Narada Vacha Saini Kapaya Namna Yes Parishma Nishta Karina Vajara Kala Kanyabhyam Vicheru Avanin Imam. Narada Uvacha. The great sage Narada continued to speak. Sainikaha. The soldiers. Mayanama. Of Haya, fear. Yea, all of them who. Barhishman, Okin Prachini Barhisha, Dishtakarina, the order carriers of death, Prajara, with Prajara, Kalakanyapyam, and with Kalakanyam, Bicheru, travel, Avanim, on earth. Imam, this. Translation. The great sage Narada continued, my dear King Prachinibhahisha, afterward, the king of the Yavanas, whose name is Fear itself, as well as Bajara, Kalpanya, and his soldiers, began to travel all over the world. Purport. Period of life just prior to death is certainly very dangerous, because usually at this time people are attacked by the weakness of old age, as well as many kinds of disease. The diseases that attack the body are compared here to soldiers. These soldiers are not ordinary soldiers, for they are guided by the king of the Yavanas, who acts as their commander-in-chief. The word Dishtakarina indicates that he is their commander. When a man is young, he does not care for old age, but enjoys sex to the best of his satisfaction, not knowing at the end of life, his sexual indulgence will bring on various diseases, which so much disturb the body that one will pray for immediate death. The more one enjoys sex during youth, the more he suffers in old age. Gyanam chara sharakaya chakshu meditamyena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So we're hearing a lot about how people suffer in old age and in death and before death also. But in some of the purports we also hear how the devotees are not, they are immune to this suffering at the time of death. And I was just remembering one story that happened here in Australia. My friend Subangi, her father was dying. He was on his deathbed. And he was experiencing what they call as terminal restlessness. Terminal restlessness. This is when you start shouting and you say, get away from me and let go of me and sort of these sort of things before death. And so his daughter, Subangi, was there and she was trying to calm him down. And the nurses said, no, no, this is terminal restlessness. But then her daughter saw the Yamaduttas in the corner of the room. And then she realized, oh, it's the Yamaduttas coming to get my father. And she was a devotee, so she just started chanting to her father. And finally she said, are they gone? He said, yes. So this is what happens for those who enjoy in youth and in old age they suffer, and before death also. But if you're a devotee, then you are free from these things. So this is a problem. It's a problem that we're young and we never think old age is going to happen to us. But then it happens. When you're old, we feel that. Yes, Indudum Maharaj was writing that he just was suffering from his third attack of cancer. And he said, now he understands. He was preaching so much about the problems of birth, death, disease, and old age, and now he's getting realization about old age and disease. Yes, we are getting realization every day. I think Niranjan Swami said that when you wake up in the morning, you have different pains in your body when you're old, and sometimes it shifts from one place to the other. But if you wake up one day and there's no pain, that means you're dead. This is old age. Yes, we are suffering. And so the problem is that people get money and then they enjoy and they don't know how to use the money. And Argamuni was chastising the sons of Kuvera, who are the sons of the richest person in the universe. Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods. And he was telling them, among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family, and being learned. When one is uneducated but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women, and gambling. So in youth, materialistic people, they use their health to get money to enjoy. And so they use the health to get wealth. And in old age, we use our wealth to get health. So we neglect our real self-interest. So Kunti says, Janmai Sharya Shuta Shidir Egamana Madapama Naivarhatya Rigatam Vai Tvam Akinsha Gochara. My Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. Because one who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, opulence, high education, bodily beauty, cannot address you with sincere feeling. So sometimes Krishna puts us in suffering so that we can chant much better. On my way to Australia, there was a fog and you couldn't see. Like 1 meter, sometimes 1 meter in front of you, you couldn't see. So this was a 4 hours drive to Delhi. And this was 140 kilometers. Then we got to Delhi, and there was a traffic jam. So the last 3.5 hours, we went 12 kilometers. And fortunately, we didn't miss our flight. We got there at the time of departure for the flight. And the pilots were also in the traffic jam too, so the flight was delayed 1 hour, so we made it to Australia. But otherwise, it's very difficult. And so, our Ambarish Maharaj, she's a good example of how to use wealth in the service of Krishna. So the devotee uses opulence without attachment, but for the non-devotee, they misuse the wealth and they suffer. It becomes, if you don't use your money for Krishna, it becomes a cause of distress. There are some examples. One 16-year-old in America won $3 million in the lottery. So she spent $700,000 for designer clothes, some on drugs, some on cars, expensive cars, and within 6 years it was all finished. And she said, I honestly wish I never won this money. And knowing what I know now, I should have just given it all back to them. And so they don't know. Another man, he won $360 million. He found many new friends, but he was lonelier than ever. He spoiled his granddaughter, got complaints about her arrogant, proud misbehavior, and she died of an overdose of drugs. And so, another one, Prabhupada tells a story about a man won the lottery, and as soon as he found out, he got a heart attack and died because he was so excited that he won the lottery. So people are taking Sita from Ram, they're taking Lakshmi from Narayan. We must offer Sita to Ram. There is a verse in Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 19th chapter, verse 13, as describing Mother Lakshmi. that she manifests, Krishna comes, she is the reservoir of all spiritual qualities, whereas Narayan is the enjoyer of those qualities. In fact, Narayan is the enjoyer of everything. And he lives, Krishna lives a super soul, and Lakshmi is the form of our body, senses, and minds. So our body, sense, and mind is a form of Lakshmi. So if we use it to enjoy, then we're taking Lakshmi from Narayan. That this body belongs to Lakshmi. This is a form of Lakshmi, actually, Bhagavatam says. So we have to use in the service of Krishna. So in Bhagavatam, 1st Canto 17, chapter 24, there is a verse, Tapasya chandaya satyam iti parakite kitab antarmam shais chayobhagna smaya sangamadais tava. In the age of satya, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. But it appears three of your legs are broken due to rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust for women, and intoxication. So Prabhupada said, modern civilization, economic development are creating a new situation of poverty and scarcity, with the result of blackmailing consumers' commodities. So Prabhupada said, if the leaders and rich men of society spend 50% of their wealth mercifully for the misled mass of people and educate them in God consciousness, certainly the age of Kali will be defeated. So how does it happen? By pride. The resultant action of austerity is spoiled. Too much affection for female association, cleanliness is spoiled. Too much addiction to intoxication, mercy is spoiled. And too much lying propaganda, truthfulness is spoiled. So Kali was given four places to live, but fortunately for us, this was not available in Pariksit's kingdom. So he begged one more place, and that is Golok. So if wealth is accumulated, Kali will live there. He will cause distress. So Grihasthas are recommended to give 50% of their accumulated wealth. When I took this Grihastha seminar, they said there is such a thing as prosperity consciousness. Prosperity consciousness means you have your proper job, your livelihood, plus sadhana, plus charity. And that's prosperity consciousness. Poverty consciousness means you have a proper livelihood, minus sadhana, minus charity. So therefore, the charity goes along with the money. You must give the charity. And that is recommended in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter. Nobody should give up giving charity. So the four orders of life, they are meant to uphold the four pillars of religion. Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 12th Chapter 41, Vidya Dhanam Tapasocham. Some of the words are changed. In the first canto, it said Socham. In the third canto, Vidya, education. Education, charity, penance, and truth are the four legs of religion. And to learn this, are the four orders of life. So Brahma created the brahmacharis to uphold education and also cleanliness. The grihasthas are for dhanam or daya, mercy or charity. The vanaprasthas are for upholding austerity. And the sannyasis are meant for upholding satyam or truthfulness. So people think, you know, they have money, they have youth, they think, I will never grow old and die. But Maharaj Yudhisthira, he answered the question, what is the most wonderful thing? Ahanyahani bhutani gachanti hayamalayam sheshastavarani chanti kemaschayana tatparam. That people, every day somebody is dying, but we think, I will never die. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also says, you achieve such a rare human life, this body, but you do not care for this gift. You remain not serving the darling of Yashoda, and you slowly fall through your last moments to death. So the sun is taking away the duration of everyone's life in this world, except those who are chanting Hare Krishna. And the sages of Naimisharanya have invited Yamaraj to attend Bhagavatam class. So maybe one of you here could be Yamaraj, we don't know. Because he likes to come and hear Krishna Katha, likes to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So you're in a safe place now. You're in Bhagavatam class and you should stay here. Always come to Bhagavatam class and you'll be protected from Yamaraj. Now, yes, so Bhaktivinoda confirms that. Udita tapana hoi vyasta, tina gela bali hoi vyasta, tabe gana hoi alasha hoi na bhaja hito yarache. With every rising and setting of the sun, the day passes and is lost. So why do you remain idle and not serve, Lord of the heart? So Bhagavatam gives us advice what we should do. How we should give in charity with this life. In 10th canto, 22nd chapter, verse 35. Itavajamasathoyam dehinam ihatehishu pranar artati abacha sheya acharam salam. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. So Srila Prabhupada explained in his lecture that you should give your life for Krishna. And he told His Holiness Bhakti Chandra Maharaj that just give this one life for Krishna. And if you want, you can, if you've spent billions of lives in sense gratification, give this one life. And if you want, you can have billions more lives of sense gratification. But give this one life for Krishna. But if you think, oh, that's too much, I cannot give my life, okay, then you can give your wealth. Pranar artar. There's also, you can give some donation to spread Krishna consciousness. But if you think, well, I don't have that much money, there's, okay, you can give dhya, you can give your intelligence. How to spread this movement, how to distribute books, how to do festivals. And you think, well, I'm not very smart, I don't have money, I don't want to give my life. One thing is left, vacha, words. You can chant Hare Krishna. You can make other people chant Hare Krishna. You can read the books, you can also distribute the books. So instead of, we follow the four regative principles. So instead of doing the four sinful activities, we can eat prasadam, offer to Krishna, no meat eating. We can have children for Krishna, no illicit sex. We can be intoxicated with chanting, like the Namaruchi. Get other people to be intoxicated. They're already intoxicated with material life and youth and so many things. And if you want to gamble, Prabhupada said, yes, we have our gambling in Krishna consciousness. You can gamble this life for Krishna. And see what happens. This life you have, okay. Well, I gamble this life for Krishna. So, what about the four orders of life, the brahmana? He is meant to cultivate the quality of forgiveness. And we should, so of course we don't have so much material wealth maybe, but we have our spiritual wealth. And the wealth of the brahmanas is forgiveness. They like to forgive, or they should forgive, or they do forgive, yes. Mahatma, I just posted on Facebook, you know. So how to forgive. Think of the person who hurt you the most, and think, oh, this person also has a life and has desires. This person also has problems and suffering. This person also has lessons to learn in this life. And so we should think positively. So other spiritual wealth, we have so much spiritual wealth. We have the deities here. We can see them. We can see Krishna every day. We have obeisances. When you offer obeisances, your mind goes down and your heart goes up, according to His Holiness Satchinanda Swami. So in bhakti, our heart is up, our mind is down. In material life, the mind is up and the heart is down. So obeisances mean when we offer obeisances, our devotional feelings rule over the mind. So another spiritual wealth is Krishna Prema. This is the secret. How to get the vision of a pure devotee where he sees Krishna in every atom and also in Goloka Vrindavan is by having love of Godhead. This is the secret of Bhagavatam. This is the secret of the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam is prema. So how to start? Maharaj gives us advice how to start on the path of prema by having gratitude. He recommends gratitude as the first stepping stone to the goal of prema. It prepares the heart for love. A soft heart will attract the soft queen of bhakti. So we have so much wealth here. We have Prabhupada's books, we have the holy name, obeisances, Vaishnava Seva, and these will open the door to Namaruchi. So if we chant Hare Krishna in humble mood like a child crying for its mother, then we will get, according to Srila Prabhupada's first lecture on chanting the holy name, we will get the mercy of Radharani first. We call for our mother Radha and we chant Hare, Hare Krishna. So we get her mercy and then she will offer us to Krishna. She will get the mercy of Krishna. So Bhakti Vinod ends his prayer. Krishna Nam Sura Kori Apan Churaya Bhakti Vinodapran Namavina Kichinaki Koara Chodo Bhumanamache. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name. There is nothing else to be had in all the 14 worlds. And has fulfilled the soul of Bhakti Vinod Thakura. So I'd like to end this class with something which I read yesterday by His Holiness Indaduma Swami when he was attacked by old age and death. Not that death, but disease, near death. He didn't die, but he was attacked by cancer. This is the third time he had melanoma cancer. And usually you don't get a third chance when you have melanoma. So he quoted the verse of his attitude, 10:14:8, hope against hope for the mercy of the Lord. Punjaga evapa pitami pakam, and tolerate reactions to our past misdeeds. Vivapa pavir vidadana maste, and offer obeisances with body, mind, and words. Chiveta yuvukti padesadaya bhak, and then you're eligible for the oration. So here's what Maharaj said. In your purport to this verse, you quote Sri Siddhar Swami, who states that just by remaining alive and following the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness, one becomes eligible to go back to Godhead. It is certainly my good fortune to be alive. The doctors caught my cancer before it could spread to other parts of my body. At 70 years of age, I'm in the twilight of my life. The writing is on the wall. But for the most part, the inscriptions are positive. Now each day I awake and thank Krishna for another day of service to you. Each time I pick up my japa beads, I savor the holy names like never before. Every word, every sentence, every paragraph of your books now acts as a divine elixir, relieving me of the struggle of material existence and giving me more hope that I will achieve the ultimate goal in this very life. Now every moment is like gold. So this is Maharaj's realization. The doctor said, so he told Maharaj, you have 9 lives, now your 9 lives are up. But he said, no, now my life is just beginning. My life is just beginning. Life begins at 70. Yes. Okay, so we should be very serious. That now we should be also thankful. Thank you, Krishna, for giving me another day to serve you. Thank you for giving me this japa bead so I can chant your name. Thank you for giving me the association of devotees. Well, we'll stop here if there's any questions or comments. You can ask now. Yes?
You mentioned about feeling gratitude when you're chanting around. And so when we start chanting, it's easy to meditate and easy to thank Krishna for the opportunity to be able to chant.
Right.
By the time you're half an hour later, and your mind is distracted. And
so in the beginning it's easy, and at the end it's hard. Yeah. Sometimes I found that the beginning is hard and the end is easier. Yeah, it depends. So then you try to remember, pray for help. Pray for help. Yes, this is Maya's attacking and very difficult to chant, but somehow I have to chant. I might die the next minute. So I have to chant more, very, very seriously and sincerely. And maybe I'll get that one mantra, which is perfect. Maybe I'll get that offenseless holy name, which will take me back to God. Maybe I'll get that one name, which will make me self-realized. So we have to keep trying for that name that will make us self-realized. I know. Yes?
A pure devotee also has to suffer at the time of death.
Pure devotee also has to suffer at the time of death.
Is that suffering, because they're not identifying with the body, do they still experience pain like a person that's not?
Does a pure devotee still experience pain? Yeah, my last class I was giving an example of Srila Prabhupada and how he was, he had a high fever and he was tossing and turning. He had diarrhea for 3 days. And after that, his devotee, the servant, wanted to ask him, were you suffering? He didn't say it directly. He said, he asked, does the pure devotee suffer? And Srila Prabhupada said, it was a lover's bite. So that's how he saw it. And he does give that analogy in his books of the difference between a non-devotee and devotee at the time of death. The non-devotee is like a rat in the mouth of the cat. And he knows he's suffering. He's extreme fear and anxiety. Jnana Dunda is a coming terminal restlessness. But for the devotee, he's like a kitten in the mouth of mother cat. So when the kitten is in the mouth of mother cat, how does might feel the teeth a little bit, but the teeth make him feel good. Because he knows, you know, sometimes even in this life, Prabhupada said, you might get in the mouth of them. And the cat, and you feel the teeth. But it's a good feeling because you know, okay, maybe I'm going the wrong direction. And the mother cat, when she sees the kitten going the wrong direction, she picks him up and takes him back to home. And so when the mother cat takes us in her mouth, when Krishna takes us in his hands, time of death, then we feel, oh, now I'm going home. So yes, I have read some accounts of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He was feeling extreme pain, he said. He was feeling pain. But at the same time, he said, Maitreya has come to take me back. So so he could tolerate it. He could tolerate it. Hearing Krishna could talk. I know there is an example. I read an article in Bhaktivedanta magazine about one lady, mother of a devotee, who had cancer, and so she was feeling extreme pain. And then they brought her and kept her in the temple. As soon as she was in the temple, the pain went away. And every time she would leave the temple, the pain would come back. So she stayed in the temple and left her body there. And she was free from pain. Yeah, pain is there, but it's for a devotee, it's Krishna coming. The teeth of mother cat. Yeah, any other? And of course the destination is different. The destination and the experience of death is completely different. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he stepped on the head of death to get into the airplane. And so it's quite different. There was one lady in Mayapur, she was eating her body, and she went into coma, and then she came back. And she said, Krishna asked me to come with him, but I said no. So then she lived for a couple of more weeks, and she went into a coma and then came back again. And she said, Radharani asked me to go, and I said yes. And so then she left. So she left. So it's quite a different experience for devotees. Not being tied up by the Yamadutas. You're not being chased, you're not being beaten. You read some near-death experiences. One man, he was experiencing Yamadutas. They were throwing stones at him. They were calling him bad things. Yeah. And but he heard a voice say, "Pray to God, pray to God." But then he didn't know how to pray because he was an atheist. So he said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag in America, that's all he knew. And then he was elevated even for that, you know, at least he tried to pray. Then we did this one away, but anyway, yeah, it's a whole different experience. Then he came back to tell the story, and he changed his ways, of course. Yeah. Yes?
Well, then, as we said, the scriptures that realization comes with experience, and you were quoting in the Guna Mara that he was saying he was going through with this girl, like, he's on his disease now, near to death. Mm-hmm. And he was sharing this realization. But being as a young man, we don't have experience of, you know, being old or getting that kind of disease.
Oh, that's good. But you're unfortunate.
Not in that sense. I'm taking my spiritual life not very serious. Yeah, I'm just thinking I've got plenty of time to go.
And don't worry.
Yeah,
disease will come. Problems will come. I mean, it's part of life. You're protected because you're in the temple. Just don't leave the temple. Don't go out there. Yeah. I mean, go out to preach. But, you know, it's nice. That's a good problem you have. But you can pray. Don't pray for disease and problems. But like Kunti, don't do that. But pray to overcome your complacency. Be grateful. Again, gratitude will help. If you're grateful, then you will see things with a whole different perspective. Like the first prayer of Shikshastakam, it's a prayer of gratitude. How the holy name is being in our heart, putting out the fire of material existence. So yeah, the mode of goodness is difficult sometimes to get excited about things, about chanting and things. But that's okay, don't worry, it won't last. Don't worry about that. That's fine. But you can pray for chanting attentively, nicely. I mean, you can't. There are things that ways you can improve. Like the first step in chanting is to see the form of the Lord as soon as you chant. So have you come to that level? No. So okay, you got something. You've got something to improve. And after that, when you chant, you'll see the qualities of Krishna. After that, you'll see the Leela of Krishna. So, because you haven't seen that, so that's something to pray for. Yes?
Mother, you mentioned about how Prabhupada said to gamble this one life for Krishna.
Yes, gamble this one life for Krishna.
So, you see people who do the gambling.
Yeah.
They do the gamble in the hope of winning.
They gamble in the hope of winning.
But at the same time, the fear is there in the heart that I might lose.
Fear is there that I might lose.
So when for a devotee, we want to be ready for gamble for Krishna, how can we have that faith of not having that fear in the heart that we will lose?
How will we have the faith that we will not lose this life? Do you have a better idea how to spend your life? You have faith in something else?
No.
Yeah, so therefore, it's good to... How to increase... I guess the question is more like how to increase your faith.
How to increase the faith.
Yes, the goal is there. Well, first thing you do is associate with people who have faith. Associate with people who have faith in chanting and doing devotional service is the first thing. Association is contagious, and that will help you. And also pray for faith. You can pray for faith. If you have faith, Krishna will reveal himself to you. Faith is so important. I mean, there are so many reasons why you should have faith. If you have faith in Krishna, then you will see Krishna. He will reveal himself to you. If you have faith, like Lord Brahma had faith in the lotus feet of Krishna. And Bhagavatam says, if you have faith in Krishna and his lotus feet, then your words will be perfect, your thoughts will be good, and your deeds, you will not fall into sense gratification. So these are reasons why you should have faith. If you have faith, the dumb man can speak, the lame man can cross mountains. and the blind man can see the stars in the sky. These are all the results of having faith. And miracles will happen every day in your life if you have faith. We may not have faith in ourselves, but we can just be an instrument and have faith that our Guru will work through us, that Krishna will work through us. Yes, sometimes we may think it's a good process, but I'm just too low, I can't really do it. No, that's all right. You just try, and Krishna will help you, and Guru will help you, and he will make you strong. But at least you have to try. You should have to try. And we do see so many success stories of devotees who went back to Godhead. There are many in our movement, both men and women, both, who have at the time of death seen Krishna, going to Krishna, seen Prabhupada. Sometimes Prabhupada comes at the time of death. One sannyasi who left our movement and died, his wife said that he was in bed dying, and all of a sudden he sat up and he said, "Oh, Prabhupada, you have come." And he completely forgot everything, but Prabhupada didn't forget. So, actually, Bhagavatam says even if you're unsuccessful, there's no loss. If you're a devotee, you give up everything, and you're unsuccessful because you're in the beginning is difficult. Pakva, if you're not pakva, you're unsuccessful. There is no loss. And if you do your duties perfectly in Varnasha, but you don't worship Krishna, then there's no gain. There's no gain. That's Bhagavatam 1.5.17, Narad Muni speaking to... No, Narad Muni is... yeah, he's speaking to Vyasadeva, yes, about his previous life. Okay, any other questions? Jai Bhagavishya Prabhupada.